Bloody Mary Podcast.
Welcome to the Bloody Mary Podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking a Bloody Mary. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy. And we are totally married.
Mm-hmm.
We got our Bloody Marys, and tonight we are ranking the top five best and worst horror films of 2024.
2024, what a year for horror.
I know.
But before we get into it, we have an Amazon wish list and
yeah,
some
we do.
Merch. Go to www.bloodymarypodcast.com. We have inexpensive things like Bloody Mary mixes and a couple stuff, and we have some mid-tier things like some cool microphones. We could use another one of these. Some super expensive stuff like cameras and lighting. If you feel like, you know, donating to the cause of the podcast, we'll give you a shout out. We'll do whatever you want if you get us the expensive stuff. At the very least, you get a shout out. So, you know, go check it out. If you're rich, you're rich. Give us some stuff.
Yeah, everybody, just give it to us. Yeah.
But if you can't do any of that, what's actually important to us right now is to like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yeah.
If you could subscribe to this YouTube channel for these podcasts, that would help us greatly. We're trying to reach a number to where we can potentially just get a bigger reach and make some money off of the podcast. Like, we need 500 subscribers, and I think on my YouTube channel I have like 375. We need 125 more. That's the goal. Let's hit that in like 6 months. We'll try to do these more regularly. So like, comment, share, subscribe to my YouTube channel wherever you're seeing this video. Go to that channel. Subscribe to that bitch.
Yeah.
And like, have your mom do it. Have your dad subscribe.
Tell your friends.
Create fake YouTube accounts and subscribe. Just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
2024 in horror. Now, this is a really interesting year because I think 2024 was a great year for horror. It had more good horror films than last year. I think it had more good horror films than bad horror films.
I agree.
I think for this year, towards the end, we cram, as we do every year, we cram in like a bunch of horror films the last month or so that we haven't seen. We're like watching them every other day to catch up. But there was a moment towards the end of the year where like, I don't know if we can fit five worst horror films on this list.
Yeah.
We eventually watched a few and they were like, okay, there are some.
We can throw that on there.
Yeah. But literally, I'd say 75% of the ones we saw were good, 25% were not the best, or I just didn't prefer them.
Yeah, some of them were just our preference, but it was definitely one that we watched a lot more that were like, oh, that was not bad.
Yeah, there was a lot that we expected to like suck, but we're like, you know what, this was actually pretty good, or this wasn't bad, or I wouldn't consider this a bad film.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of like good movies this year for horror, I thought.
I agree.
Yeah.
Plus, we had some like winning awards and shit, which doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, there's awards being had that have been won, and hopefully more to come for horror, which is really nice. But there were some shitty ones that really upset us. And
there were.
You know what? Let's start with those. Our worst horror films of the year, and I do think that there's one on here that has been on people's best of the year list.
Really?
That might ruffle some feathers.
All right. I like ruffling feathers. Let's do it.
Yeah. So number five, worst horror film of the year is Night Swim. Night Swim, if you haven't seen it, it's a family moves into a new home, unaware that a dark secret from the house's past will unleash a malevolent force in the backyard pool. So it's a haunted house movie in a pool. And so this movie, I think, it's not the greatest offense of a horror film. It's just, I've seen this done so many times.
Right.
And so much better. This feels like a straight to DVD horror flick.
I would agree. And, you know, fuck that movie, because I was actually, I had a hard time with that movie, but that is more of something that I drowned in a past life and it was a horrible thing.
Well, explain what happened.
Oh, just watching that movie and then like, I was having, like, we had to stop it.
Because
I was having a panic attack.
Yeah, because of what scenes?
In the pool.
Yeah.
of them pulling them down drowning.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't handle it. And it was stupid. Because I'm like, I'm never fucking scared of horror. Like, it takes a lot for me to be scared.
It does.
And I'm never fucking scared. Like, and fucking Night Swim, which isn't even a good movie.
No, it's like a PG-13 run of the mill. There's no scares in the movie.
No.
But what scared you somehow in your deep subconscious is something grabbing you from the depths of the pool
and
or
me not
a lake
being able to get out.
And pulling you under.
And drowning to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, you were terrified.
I was like, we had to pause.
Looking over, like, fucking Kurt Russell kids movie with a baseball player and a fucking pool is scaring you. What the fuck is this?
What is happening?
Yeah.
I felt the same way. I was very confused as to why I was scared and having a panic attack. So, you know, drowning in a past life.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you haven't seen Night Swim, you're not missing anything. It's just a basic run-of-the-mill haunted house movie, except your setting is the pool is haunted. And, you know, I think there's a world where you can do something interesting with the pool, but they didn't.
They don't.
They didn't do anything interesting with it.
No.
At all. Like, at all. So it's not like, oh my God, this is so bad. It's just boring and run-of-the-mill. And I think this was a Blumhouse film.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken. And they've been pretty hit or miss lately. Yeah. I don't know. A24's creeping up on these guys.
They are.
In the bigger studios.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you want to say about Night Swim?
Nothing. I never want to see it again.
All right. Well, yeah. So that was our number five. And then number four is kind of along the same lines of, this movie isn't terrible. It's just kind of boring.
Oh, so boring.
And it is, our number four is The Exorcism, starring Russell Crowe. And it's about a troubled actor begins to exhibit a disruptive behavior while shooting a horror film. His estranged daughter wonders if he's slipping back into his past addictions or if there's something more sinister at play. And this one has a good premise. This one
it
is...
does.
They're shooting an exorcism film and they're on the set of a movie. And I like those kind of movies. I like movies that are set on the sets of films. And then this isn't spoiling anything, at the beginning of the film, the main actor who's playing the exorcist dies because of creepy shit.
Right.
So then Russell Crowe gets the part and he's a washed up drunk, used to be a really good actor, and he gets the part and he's struggling with the part and he's struggling to mend a relationship with his daughter, and then evil stuff starts happening. And it's a really good premise, but it was so boring and it just wasn't engaging.
I colored through part of it because I was like, I'm not, this is so boring.
Yeah.
Last year he did The Pope's Exorcist.
Which was awesome.
Which was so fucking good.
And he's doing another one, which I'm really happy because that was so fun. You could tell he put more into it. There was, that movie was just so much better. I love that Russell Crowe is doing these horror movies and exorcism movies.
I do.
I think he should keep doing it. He's a fun genre actor. I love Russell Crowe when he does genre things. As opposed to the bigger stuff. I like when he does good genre horror. I like when he does good genre thriller. He did this one that I discovered a local production company actually did, but they shot it outside of town. It was Unhinged. It was when he was the road rage guy.
Yeah.
And The Nice Guys is one of my favorite movies of all time, where him and Ryan Gosling are bumbling detectives in the 70s is so fucking good and so funny and actually so layered. And Margaret Qualley is in that too.
That's right.
Who is in The Substance. But that movie deserves a sequel. Please, world, make that happen. I got sidetracked. Go ahead. The Exorcism.
It was boring.
It was.
They could have done some really cool stuff with it. And there was like a really cool moment. But it...
Which moment?
When he like...
Without spoilers.
We're
going to be spoiler free for this mostly.
When he was on set and then he started to like have that possessed moment.
The possession sequence was really cool, but they didn't do anything with it.
No, and it was very short too.
Yeah.
Basically. It like you get a real like little snippet of cool stuff and then it kind of just falls flat the rest of it. Yeah. And it was boring. I colored through it.
Yeah.
Like I don't, and then exorcism movies and like those things are, it takes a lot for them to be creepy for me or to get some sort of enjoyment out of them. So it was just like, oh, okay. It's boring, yeah. Of course. And, you know, I went back to coloring and was listening and look up. It was just, it didn't catch my attention.
Yeah.
So that's why it was number four for us. Yeah,
I feel the same too. The only thing that's interesting about this movie is that it was directed by Joshua John Miller. And if you don't know who that is, I didn't know who it was, so I looked it up. He was a really fun child actor. He was the kid in Near Dark, Teen Witch, The River's Edge, and Class of 1999. And I loved him in all of those films. Mm-hmm. And his dad, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was the main actor priest in The Exorcist.
Oh.
So I can see why he would want to do this. He's making a movie about an exorcism behind the scenes.
Right.
So maybe it's like there's some relationship with like maybe that's like who his dad was.
Right.
This kind of thing. So the one thing I like positive I have to say about this is I think it's really cool that he jumped behind the camera and made a horror movie. And I know just from personal experience, even getting a short film made can be pretty taxing. So, mm-hmm. you know, even just in general, when we talk shit about these bad movies, I do know that it takes a lot of work to make a film.
Right.
So this is just fun that we're talking about right. these kind of things. So that's the one thing I did like about it was like finding out he was the director, but the movie was just boring.
It was. And, yep. and like you said, it had a cool premise because there is stories of other, you know, The Exorcist had its own lore behind yeah. it, filming, and mm-hmm. shit happened.
Yep.
And other, you know, movies in those vein things have happened. So it yeah. was a cool premise. It just was, it just fell flat.
Yep. All right, want to move on?
Yep.
This is where we get into some juicy stuff. Our,
yeah,
our top,
because like our top three.
Our top three were the ones that we were like, these are the worst of the year. Those bottom ones, we had a couple we could have like moved around and,
yeah.
and put in there. But number three, I think this is going to be the biggest one that sparks controversy because this one is on a lot of people's like top lists. And number three is Speak No Evil. This one's about a family is invited to spend the whole weekend in a lonely home in the countryside. But as the weekend progresses, they realize that a dark side lies within the family who invited them. Directed by James Watkins. What did you think about Speak No Evil, starring James McAvoy and, God, what's her name? Mackenzie Davis, who, on the positive, I love those two actors. I think James McAvoy, Mackenzie Davis did a good job with what they were given.
Right,
is what
I agree.
The positive I have to say about that, and I think the other positive is the movie looked good.
Mm-hmm.
The director of photography, the movie looks great. Go ahead.
I didn't like it. I didn't think that the suspense built up enough towards the end. I didn't think it was frustrating me. I was just like, it also dragged. For me, it was like, get to the point. Like, mm-hmm. we know something's going to happen.
Yes.
And you're just getting all of this. Great. Give me something because I was getting real frustrated. Like, are we going to get to the point where we're going to realize where you guys are realizing they're creepy? Because those motherfuckers come off creepy on the screen. Pick up vibes, people. Pick up fucking vibes.
Yeah. I think what she's trying to get at is that from the beginning of the film, you know that this family is off and you know that there's something wrong with them and you know that they're malicious as a viewer.
Yes.
So seeing the family interact with them and not recognizing so many things all of the time and still continuing to engage with these people and to go on vacation with these people
and to
go
to
a secluded location with these people. I think this movie would have worked better if you would have made those villains suave.
Yes.
So we are like, are they bad or are they not? But in their advertising and just like from the moment you fucking see them, you know that they're bad.
Yeah.
So I think there's an inherent frustration there as a viewer being like, I don't like, what the fuck? Like, how are you? There's so many warning signs that like you and me, like we wouldn't even go past like the opening sequence with these people.
No.
Like
zero.
And let alone just say we met them, we got along, they invited us to their place, we get there. After being there for like maybe a half hour, we'd be like, we gotta go.
You know, I'm not feeling, the kid's not feeling well. I'm not feeling, we gotta leave.
There's just so many.
Get the fuck out.
And you can excuse this if you're in a different film with maybe younger characters and there's a lighter tone and a fantastical tone. But this movie is based in reality.
Yeah.
This movie isn't fantastical. There's no fantasy element. This is in reality. And it's just, it really bothered me that these adults who are intelligent because of the jobs that they talked about, mm-hmm. and being their age, they probably are age that they've at least seen a couple horror films, read the news, know of people. I just don't understand. And yes, they had their personal things going on. I just don't understand how they let it go so far.
Right. Well, and the wife was like, we should go. We need to get the fuck out. And the guy's like, I don't understand you. Like, bro, clearly you're not an alpha. You got your own problems going on.
Yes.
But like, why are you not picking up on any? Well, maybe it's just because we're different. No, it's not. They're not fucking good people. Yeah. And you just keep making excuses because you want to have a friend or I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was just so frustrating.
There's just so many moments. Or like even like in the beginning, the moment where like he makes her eat meat and she's a vegetarian.
And he knew that. And he's like, no, but just eat it.
And then, okay, like, so you go forward. And then he's like, I don't know, that like he's like being really violent with his son.
Yes.
He's being violent with his son and they stay. There's a moment where their daughter is found in their bedroom at night and they decide to leave, but they fucking go back for a stuffed animal, which I understand why, but if that was us, I wouldn't go back.
No, I would literally I understand that you're hoppy. Yeah. Like we can have them mail it. But like
I wouldn't go back. I would explain to our child that yes, you're attached to this item, but they're not good people.
And we're in danger and we need to go.
Yeah. But yeah, so this movie was just frustrating to watch these people make these terrible decisions. And this number three worst, two and one, all three of these, both of us to various degrees were vocal to the television.
So vocal.
You were pretty vocal with this one. I was like, at the moment, I was like, can you just not yell? You were yelling at the top of your lungs. I was like, okay, I get it. Stop yelling.
I'm sorry. You're like, wait till we get to number one. I threw things.
Yeah. So if you gave me this idea, and this is a remake from a Danish film that came out a couple of years ago, and I didn't see that one, and I don't want to see it after seeing this one, and I think the ending is darker for that.
Uh-huh.
But the problem with this is James McAvoy and his woman, they just come off abrasive and off, and you know as an audience viewer that they're not good people. So I think if you were to make this movie work, and if you're trying to like trick the audience, mm-hmm. you make them suave.
Yeah.
There's a moment in this movie where like, you know what would just make this movie one of the best is if in like that middle act they flipped it.
Right.
To where these people that you think are terrible, they're not. They're just weird and kind of off, but these two that are like more put together and you think he's a beta,
right,
and they're a little off, they're fucking, you know, evil. That would have been cool.
It would have. And then sometimes you're like, you get frustrated, but then it kind of redeems itself towards the end because you can have a cool third act and really cool things are happening. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen. The suspense wasn't built up very well.
Yeah, like what the idea of what I wanted to happen in the third act happened, but I just didn't like how, like you're saying, you know, that main dad is a beta. Well, for the most part, he still is. He does a few things to like not suck as hard.
Right.
Like he does, but he doesn't like fully commit. And I just hate it in movies. It works in a goofy, zany, fantastical film. But when you're in a movie that's rooted in reality, when people have so many opportunities mm-hmm. to grab a gun
or a weapon of some kind or anything?
Like, at least they grabbed some weapons sometimes, but there are so many moments where, like, okay, you got them down, grab their gun, then go.
Right.
Like, don't just go. And also, you don't know, are they really dead with their gun laying next to them? Just take the gun, shoot them, and go on to the... I don't know. Right. Like,
and how, I mean, yeah. How it ended, we can't really spoil, but, like, it was just like, of course that's how it should end, but yeah. Why is that person doing it and not those people? Like, it was just so frustrating.
So, and now I'm trying to get in the head of people that think that this is a really good movie, and
I don't understand because I've
seen movies like this that are done this so much better, and like the only way I can see that you think this movie is really good is if you haven't seen a movie like this before,
right?
And you've never seen a trailer and you don't quite know what's going on. But yeah, I don't understand that.
Well, even when you show me the Danish trailer, those people looked suaver.
They did.
They looked like, oh, they're just regular. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't come off as like, y'all something wrong.
Yeah, you want to play it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Vibes, people.
Yeah, anyways, I want to move on from that all motherfucker.
Right. Number two.
So number two, I wanted to be one for the longest time. But, you know, both number two and number one are pretty, pretty bad. Number two is the one that I was vocal for. Because I'm never really, like, yelling or talking to the TV as much.
Yeah, if you haven't realized, I'm more the vocal one when we were watching.
Through watching this movie, I was through, like, the majority of it. And you were getting a kick out of it I just never do that.
I was like, is this what it's like when for you? Because usually I'm the one yelling at the TV and shit.
So number two is Time Cut, a Netflix original. This one's about a high school student accidentally travels back to 2003 and decides to stop the serial killer who murdered her sister. And it sounds fun. It sounds cool. But you know what? It's not. It's not at all. And have you seen the movie Totally Killer that from last year? That was pretty cool with Kiernan Shipkin. You know that mask that the killer had? It's the same fucking mask in this movie. It's the same goddamn mask. Maybe there's like... something
a tiny tweak, but
yeah, it would be like if you took Michael Myers mask from Halloween, and then you took the Myers mask from Halloween 4, and you know that they look different, but it's the same mask. That's what this is.
Yeah,
it's the same fucking mask as that movie. the movie looks flat. It visually looks flat and bland, pastels. They tried to recreate 2003. And it was off. Everything looked stupid. It was stupid. That is not how people looked in 2003. And, you know, you can say this about going to, like, films that are set in the 80s or the 90s. But this one was really egregious with how it looked in 2003.
Yeah, because it was really pushing hard 2003, too, right?
Yeah. And so this movie sets it up.
It's so dumb.
To where, like,
so stupid.
Like, your main character is a young woman, and she's going off to, like, a prestigious science college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And an event happened, and you know this is a time travel film. And she's talking about, I think she's going to go there, and she's going to learn NASA. She's going to NASA. So in your head, you're like, okay, so she's going to go to NASA, and she's going to, that's how she's going to time travel.
Yeah.
It is not. They ran out of money right away. So they say that, and you're like, okay, they're going to go to NASA and time travel somehow. On the trip to NASA, they stop at like some farm, small town community, right?
Well, no. Okay. It was where they all died. Her sister died. They go back every year. Her parents put flowers. People go put flowers.
Whatever.
And you miss
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. They go to a barn. They end up going to a barn, whatever the fucking reason. And she opens the barn and she goes into the barn. And you know what's in there? Two boxes. It's two metal boxes.
Uh-huh.
And then she goes to the boxes and does something and travels back in time. What did she do in those boxes?
I don't remember. I pushed a couple buttons.
It was dumb. It was like, why set up the NASA thing and then she goes to a barn and sees boxes and that's how she travels back in time?
Yeah.
And you know, fuck it. Spoiler alert. She doesn't go back. She stays.
Oh, that's fucking right.
Yeah. Whatever she solves, she decides to stay in 2003.
Yeah.
Like, fuck my parents thinking about whatever happened to me.
Yeah. No.
I hate this movie so much.
And it was like we just got that Totally Killer, which is basically the same fucking movie, but in the 80s and cooler.
Yeah, way better.
Way cooler. And if, correct me if I'm wrong, we never see any kills.
No, they're if we do, they're forgettable. But from what I remember, the one I remember is there was a CD kill. I'm like, okay, this is cool. You're using a CD. That was in 2007. And you see the CD come up and like, boom, they cut away.
Yeah, you don't see any kills. There's barely any blood.
Yep.
This is supposed to be a serial killer.
Yeah, this is
get none of that.
This is billed as a slasher whodunit.
Yeah.
And you don't get a slasher, and you really don't get a fucking whodunit
if you pay attention.
It's obvious as fuck.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you know, I'm gonna stay.
Mm-hmm. And you know, with those kills too, you can have, I understand with budget, you can have a couple of kills like that where you bring your weapon, you do that, and you cut to blood going on this. On right. the wall, right? But you have to at least show me a couple good flushed out ones.
Yeah.
For me to be, okay, well, I get it. You spent your money on this cool kill we see.
Right.
Now we can get a couple where you know, we don't see it. But you got to show me some. It's a slasher.
Right. You're a slasher, fucking, you. I kill. I need to see a goddamn kill.
I have a slasher script.
Yeah.
You've read it. Many people have read it.
Yes.
There are kills fucking galore.
There is.
And I understand I'm going to have to give away probably half of them, but the ones that I'm going to keep, oh my God, they're so fun. Anyways, that's probably saying too much about projects, but this was anticlimactic.
It was.
Super bad Hallmark fucking
Lifetime. It was a Hallmark horror.
It was a Lifetime movie. It was advertised differently in Netflix, it was like an original Netflix slasher, and it came out like around Halloween, and I was like, this is cool.
Yeah, we were like, oh, it's like date night, we're going to watch Time Cut, it's going to be fun, and then he's just over like, what the fuck is this?
And then
yelling at the TV, and we're like, this is it?
We put it on, and like, we were such in the mood for a fun Halloween slasher.
Right.
And this was just like a cutesy
Hallmark
Lifetime bullshit piece of shit that's pastels, no kills. It makes no sense. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I don't like it and don't see it. I don't want to talk about it anymore unless you do. I'm starting to get sad. All right. Number one. And I don't think this is going to come as much of as a surprise if you've seen this film or heard people talk about with the worst lists. Number one is The Strangers, Chapter 1. After their car breaks down in an eerie small town, a young couple is forced to spend the night in a remote cabin. Panic ensues, and they are terrorized by three masked strangers who strike with no mercy and seemingly no motive. This is a remake of the original Strangers, and this is a trilogy reboot with a director I like, Rennie Harlan. He directed Nightmare on Elm Street 4. He did Die Hard 2, I believe. He's done a couple of really good films that I enjoy.
This is not one of them.
And he shot all three of these back to back, and we got the first one. And what did you think about?
I fucking hated this movie. We had paused it because I had to get up and throw shit because I was that mad at this movie.
Yep.
I was so happy because we kept on like, oh, we should see it in the theater. And then things would happen and we didn't get to see it in the theater. And I was like, I'm really fucking happy we did not see it in the theater because, oh my God, I couldn't, that would be so hard to hold all that shit in because that was fucking horrible. They made the worst decisions fucking ever imaginable. And then their whole like, oh my God, they're coming. I'm just gonna slide down the wall and I'm gonna cry in terror and I'm not gonna grab any weapons that are around me at all. I'm just gonna sink on the ground and cry against the fucking wall. And then wonder why it's happening. Fucking get yourself out of it. Get yourself out of it. Are you fucking, there's knives, there's fucking things you can whack them over the head with. Anything. Nope. Just sink to the floor and cry and hope that they won't find you. Fuck off. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck Oh, fuck, oh, fuck off. Yeah. And there were so many things that, there's a gun. No, you're not going to grab the gun. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to grab this weapon. We're just going to, and then we're going to hide. And then we watch them walk away real, oh, their feet are gone. I'm going to get up and it's going to be fine. Fuck you. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
So it's kind of like, speak no evil of how those people were making stupid decisions. Right. And, if you put it up to this one, it kind of pales in comparison, and you have sympathy for the speak no evil people, because they're young, and they drive into a small town, and every single person in that small town is giving them a, like, we want to kill you, get the fuck out of our town look. Everybody.
Yes.
And then they go into the diner, they make fun of the food they're going to eat. And they come out of the diner, and suddenly their car doesn't work. And the mechanics are like, yeah, we got to keep it overnight. And they're like, what are we going to do? Well, I guess you're just going to have to stay in the only Airbnb we have out in the woods.
In the middle of the woods. Yeah. So
those enough would be red flags for us to be like, I'm just going to go. We're just going to walk or something. But there was that lady that offered to give them a ride to the Airbnb. I would have been like, hey, take a left, take us to the next city. We're going to stay at a hotel. I'll give you $500 for the fucking gas. We're not staying here. And you know what? Fuck the car. I don't want to die. I've seen movies.
Right.
Even if you get to the point where you get to the cabin, so many things happen where strangers show up. There's weird noises. There's people. You see people in the house with masks on. And still this character is just like, whatever. I'm going to smoke weed and dance and just take a shower and be naked.
And take a shower. Oh my God. There's a weird girl coming to the door 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And noises, and then, but the noises went away, so it's fine. And my boyfriend, husband, whatever the fuck he is gone.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to take a shower and get high, and then this not, it'll be fine. Everything's going to be fine. And when they do come, I'm going to sink to the floor and cry.
Yeah, and then finally when, like, the boyfriend and the girlfriend, and they realize that people are in the house after him, they go into a room, and they just go to the ground, and they just hold each other with the door locked, and they don't even, like,
there's a window,
because we were like, yeah, you were like, there's a window, go out the window. I was like, there's a mirror, break it, get some glass, you make a shiv. I'm like, there's a bedpost, turn it into wood, push something in front of the door. Like, they had no survival instincts. And then there was a point, and this happened not once. This happened multiple times.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, once. It was like fucking 10 goddamn times.
And then there was a moment where she's like, maybe they'll just go away. Like, I don't think these people are just gonna go away.
Right. And then, like, just run down the road. Nope. Instead of running down the road, I'm gonna go into the woods. And then I'm gonna hide in leaves, but keep my head poked out, and then try to use a cell phone.
Yeah, it was. And then there's a moment where your other main character, the guy, he gets a gun.
He does.
He gets a gun. Now you don't have an upper hand, but you have a good chance. And he had two opportunities that I saw to kill a couple people. There's one where he had it point blank at the back of the person's head. You just shoot them because they're trying to fucking kill you.
Right.
So do you want to die or not?
Right.
Shoot them. And then there's another moment where there's a killer is ramming them with the car. I don't care if I'm spoiling anything for this movie for you.
Yeah,
I don't
sorry,
give a
spoiler
shit.
Alert.
If you've seen Strangers chapter, if you've seen the original, you're not missing anything. This is worse than that. There's a moment they have a shotgun in the car and the guy is ramming them. Boom. And then pulls back. And the whole time I'm like, shoot him with the shotgun.
No.
He's right there. And then he hits the car again and hits the car again and hits the car again and then hits. And then they're right there. And then he's trying to get out. How about instead of that, you use that gun and shoot him and then try to get out?
Yeah. No.
It was so dumb.
It was. And then he even left for a while and came back. He left with the...
Oh, yeah. He left her at the cabin.
He left her at the cabin because there was a motorcycle. No, get on the... come with me. We've already had the creepy person come 4 or 5 times knocking on the door asking if someone was there.
Yeah.
Same girl, same person. And then you just leave her. And she's like, oh.
Yeah. Let's see. Positives.
None. Fucking none. None.
I have positives.
Okay,
I think the designs of the killers are awesome.
Okay, all right. I get... those are good.
I do partially like how it ended. I, because you want to see certain things to certain happen to certain people, and you're kind of glad it does.
Yes.
The only way that this movie can become better is if 2 and 3 turn around a certain character. If 2 does something and then... but I don't see it happening because they shot all these back to back, and I feel it's risky because if you shoot a movie, if they had say we want to do 3 of these, okay, well let's do this first one and do a test audience and see if people are going to like it or not. And if they're anything like this one, now they're all 3 going to suck.
Right.
It's not like The Exorcist last year with David Gordon Green where he had a planned trilogy, but let's shoot one and we'll see what it's like.
And he shot it.
And it was our worst film of last year. And they fucking canned that trilogy,
mm-hmm.
got rid of him. They brought in another director who was way better. And he's going to do something brand new, has nothing to do with that one. So I don't know. I'm curious about what Strangers Chapter 2 and 3 are going to be. I don't think they're going to theaters. I think they're going to just find home at a streaming service.
I think so. I mean, we're going to watch them, obviously. Yeah. But like...
Yeah.
I mean, it won't be in the theater. I can't watch those movies in a theater. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be so hard for me to keep quiet in that theater. It would.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are our worst movies of the year. It was Night Swim, The Exorcist.
The Exorcism.
Yep. Speak No Evil, Time Cut, and The Strangers Chapter 1. Well, let's switch gears and get into what we liked.
Get into what we liked.
And starting with the best of the year. And this was actually really hard.
That was hard.
Because we had so many good movies this year. And mm-hmm. it was really, I think like maybe our top 3, we were like, these should be here. But like those bottom 2 were like, I could replace it with so many other mm-hmm. movies. And should we just get into it?
We should. Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Our number 5 best film of the year is Nosferatu, a gothic tale of obsession between a haunted young woman and the terrifying vampire infatuated with her, causing untold horror in its wake, directed by Robert Eggers. And I just want to preface this by saying that I love you, and that's why this movie is number 5. because you really like this movie and you wanted to put it on here. And I subjectively, I see why this is a good film. I gave it a good rating.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's beautifully directed. I think it's acted really great. I think it looks beautiful. I think it's one long, hypnotizing gothic poem on screen.
Yeah.
Every shot is meticulous. It was really cool. These kind of movies aren't the ones that I flock to, but mm-hmm. I watched it once. I thought it was amazing, but I probably wouldn't see it again.
Right.
Much like this director's other movies, like The Witch and Lighthouse, and I haven't seen Northman, but the ones that I have seen are one and dones for me, but right. I like them and I respect them.
Right.
So it's on here out of respect for the director and out of respect for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
So go ahead. What did you like about it?
All of it. I loved getting to see Nosferatu back on the screen in a new take.
Mm-hmm.
I loved getting to see, you know, a gross vampire.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't, you know, I've talked about it before on the podcast. Like, I love vampires, and I like now seeing the creepier coming around as opposed to the... you know, the Twilight Vampire Diaries little, phase that we had. I'm excited to see these type of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so beautiful. And it was so well acted. And Bill Skarsgård did, like, you didn't even know it was him. Like, he fucking nailed that part.
It was amazing. It was
fucking nailed it.
What I said in our review, it was like this year, Bill Skarsgård playing Orlok and then Colin Farrell playing Penguin, just like the effects and prosthetic teams now are just getting so insane to where just the actor disappears into that character, which is super cool that you don't see that it's fake, that it's you don't recognize who the actor is. And I like that. That's really cool.
Because you really didn't.
Yeah.
Like, maybe on a, for a second in his eyes, but really it was just like, he just disappeared. And it was just, I loved it. And you know, I would watch it again. And I probably will when it streams. It just, it was like hypnotically beautiful. And I really enjoyed it.
And his mustache has become a meme all over the place.
Oh my God, that mustache.
But I liked it. I liked the design. I really like, I think out of, you know, the Nosferatu films that I've seen, this is my favorite design. I think it's creepy. I think, yeah, I that was, you know, my notes for this one is Bill is rad, choice titties, William Dafoe.
Choice titties, William Dafoe. We get vampire dick in this.
We get vampire dick. We get, what's her name? Lily?
Lily Rose.
You get to see her titties. And William Dafoe was my favorite part.
Oh my God. He was such a...
Of the entire film. He was like, you know, he was the levity. He was what that movie needed. Because you couldn't have it all dark and drab. And suddenly you have this eccentric doctor scholar. And he has this big pipe that he's always smoking on. And he was a lot of fun. He was my favorite part of the whole movie. I really enjoyed him in that. That was... I liked him.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was just he provided that levity and that little bit of sunshine and that whole in the darkness. And it was just, and it's also sad. Like, she was basically abused her whole life and after this person, never, when she did find happiness, she had to give it up and die because he was going to kill everyone. She didn't.
Yeah. And you know what I've heard from this movie has generally got positive things, but we were at a film mixer today, and I talked with a young actress that we've worked with, and she was like, all right, you have to explain Nosferatu for me because I don't understand. I fell asleep 3 times in this movie. It's so
really
boring. Yeah. And it would be, and that someone like maybe I would think would have enjoyed it. So I was like, yeah, I kind of felt the same way. Not as bad. I didn't like fall asleep as much. But I've been hearing people saying like, and then Sean was like, I love it. I love that movie. And then someone else was like, I fell asleep. So I think it's like knowing what you're getting into. And I knew what I was getting into because I'd seen this guy's movies before.
Right.
So I know there's slow burns. I know it's like he's shooting things specifically.
Mm-hmm.
He's more...
methodical,
shot specific, as opposed to hanging out with the actors. Mm-hmm. It seems I think he just wants the actors to be ready and know their thing, and then now he's going to do his shit with the camera. I like directors that jump in there with their actors. I like to do that when I do my stuff. I want actors to riff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's your script, but go off it if you want, as long as you keep the beats.
Right,
that's how I feel. There's certain things that I'd hang on to, but. Trailed off there for a minute, but yeah, that's our number five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
all right, number four.
Number four. Number four. Okay, yeah, there we are. our number four best film of the year is In a Violent Nature. When a locket is removed from a collapsed fire tower in the woods that entombs the rotting corpse of Johnny, a vengeful spirit. Spurred by a horrific 70-year-old crime, his body is resurrected and becomes hell-bent on retrieving it. Directed by Chris Nash. And this movie could have been pretty bad. This movie is low budget. It has a simple premise about a guy who's just buried for eternity, and someone takes the locket and he rises from the grave and he goes around and killing everybody.
Yeah. Gets his locket back, goes back.
And the unique thing about this is what?
It's the POV of you're following the killer.
You're basically following like a Jason. So imagine Friday the 13th, but just being with Jason in the woods.
Yeah.
So there's lots of shots of just this killer. Like you get like a 5-minute one-shot take of the killer just walking in the woods, walking in the woods, walking in the woods. And then he stops, looks at someone, walks over here, goes over to him, kills him.
Yeah.
And that sounds boring as shit.
It does.
What saves this is the kills are awesome.
The kills are fucking superb.
So this movie could have been an art house boring piece of shit. But from the moment like you get like... you're like first cool. There's like one kill that's they do off screen to just kind of set up the tone. But the second kill, is balls to the wall.
It is.
And you see it and it's like, oh, okay. So now it changes to where like, okay, now I want to be with this guy and follow him because I want to see where he goes and what he does and how he kills the next person if you're showing them all like this.
Right.
And that is what saved the movie and what made it unique for me.
It was a pleasant surprise, right? Because we were going in like, okay, well, it could be, like you said, that could be boring.
Yeah. This could have made our worst of the list if it wasn't for the kills and if it wasn't for the simplicity of the plot.
Right. And also, when you're walking with the killer, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It was serene.
It was serene. It was beautiful. And it didn't drag too long. Like, it could have... They could have pushed it where it could have went too long. But you get like, these serene, like, you know, relaxing, beautiful...
You hear nature.
You hear nature.
There's scenes where you see, like, magic hour and the sun coming and the birds chirping and the sky is walking. This corpse water, is walking
right,
through.
Right, water running. You get that serene calmness.
Yeah.
And then fucking brutal kills.
Yeah.
And you get to see them. And they're... oh my God. They're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. And then you go back to the serene walking.
Yeah. And then you get your story and lore by like your killer will stop and then there'll be like your human characters will be talking about, oh, this happened here. Is that really what's happening? Oh, fuck. So you see snippets of the humans.
Yeah.
Which it's the reverse in, you know, like a Friday the 13th or a Halloween where you're with the humans and you see snippets of the killer.
Right.
This just flips it around, right. which was super fun. But I think it was a really good example of what you can do with a small budget in a location with a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a really pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's why I made our list.
Yeah, it stood out.
It stood out, and it was definitely like, it was just like one you haven't really seen before.
Yeah, and also it was fun to see the killer, like, get equipped as he went.
Yeah.
Because he starts with nothing, and then he kills someone with something, so he has this weapon, and then he's walking, and then he gathers, like, more weapons and becomes more bloody as he goes. That was just fun, because then, yeah, there's a moment where he actually... get something to put on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you get to, like, see, like, more the end, your killer is fully equipped.
Yeah.
That was fun. It was fun.
It was fun.
I would suggest checking it out if you're looking for something unique and fun and if you like what we're talking about.
Yeah. It's just... And, the kills. I mean, there's some kills that you're like, what the fuck? I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about one of them later.
Yes, we will.
All right, number three. So these are the best of the best, cream of the crop.
For us, yeah.
Number three is a surprise.
I wasn't
expecting this to be one of the best films of the year, to let alone be a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is The First Omen. A young American woman is sent to Rome to begin a life of service to the church, but encounters a darkness that causes her to question her faith and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate. Directed by, I'm going to fuck this up, Arkasha Stevenson. Okay, I don't think I fucked it up. This is a prequel to the Omen movies. There's been The Omen, which is a classic. There's been, I think, five other sequels, which, they kind of sucked. The Omen remake I really liked with Liv Schreiber.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did this, a prequel, kind of out of nowhere. It was in theaters at the beginning of the year. We didn't see it. Then we saw it streaming. And we were like, wow, this is good. This is creepy. This is one I had to, like, I actually looked in the basement.
Yeah.
Like, as an adult, if I have to stop a movie and like look in around the corner, then it's effective.
Yeah,
like
no.
That doesn't happen to me often. I got scared.
Yeah,
watching
no,
this movie.
It was well, like we talked about earlier. Like it's really hard for me to be creeped out in general, but like exorcism, possession, anything like that. Is always like meh.
we get them and they're always kind of the same beats and this one it was good. I think it helped too. We had a really good lead. It was
she was great.
Is her name? It's Nell Tiger. Oh, sorry, excuse me. Oh, Bloody Mary's coming up. No, it's not. It's just burping. Yeah, there we go. Nell Tiger Free did a fantastic job. There's a scene in there where she's having a possession exorcism fit, and it was a really physical performance. It was really good. She was amazing in the movie, and I really like how this movie ends in your final act. I just love the final act. I like how it all plays out. I like how it tied into The Omen, but also it added something different to the lore, which might make you look at The Omen differently going forward.
Right.
So it wasn't just a prequel to just be a prequel. It added new things that already existed that I think are cool.
I agree.
And it was directed well. There was really creepy moments that were cool. I liked the visual style. Yeah.
It was just surprising because we were just like, okay, let's check out the first Omen. And then we watch it and we're like, holy shit, that was good. That was like really good. And her possession moment with all the physical, like it was creepy
awesome.
And awesome. And it's hard to be creeped out.
Yeah.
And like you said, like checking the basement, all that, like lingers a little bit. Like that one did.
Yeah, it freaked me out. And there's a moment too, and I love this in films, and this isn't a spoiler, but there's a moment where your heroine is in peril and you think there is absolutely no fucking way she's getting out of this. But what happens is fucking cool.
It's so
cool. How it all transpires and what happens. It was really awesome. And so this one, I think it makes this list because it was such a huge surprise, more so than A Violent Nature, that I just wasn't expecting this to be good, and it became great to me. And I really want to see another one. I want to see a sequel to this first Omen. Like, I want this story to continue. Like, I want more.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also being like, why are people not talking about this more? Because it was so good.
Mm-hmm. And I think we could get into that conversation after.
Yeah.
Because this leads into another conversation we're going to have after we do our rankings.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We're going to jump into it.
All right. Number two.
Number two is Abigail.
Yes.
After a group of criminals kidnapped the ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, they retreat to an isolated mansion, unaware that they're locked inside with not a normal girl. Directed by, and I always fuck up their last name, so I'm just going to say Matt and Tyler. It's a team of directors, the guys who directed Scream 6, Scream 5, who are helping produce Scream
Ready
7.
Ready or Not.
I think they did Ready or Not. Love their work. They haven't... I like everything they do.
Yes.
They always usually make our list, except for Scream 6. It didn't make our list. But Ready or Not did. Scream 5 did.
Right.
This made number 2. I just love it. It's fun.
It's fucking
This movie is fun.
So fucking fun.
It's fun. I like all of the characters. There's no character I didn't like.
No.
I just liked everybody in there. All of your characters were fun to spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool seeing, and this came off of like Melissa Barrera getting fired. Is that how you say her name?
I think
fired
so.
From Scream 7 from whatever her stuff was. And she had shot this with these guys who had shot Scream 6. So it was cool seeing her like, oh, you fired me? Well, check out this kick-ass fucking movie.
Right.
You're not going to keep me down.
No. No, it was so fun. And again, a fun vampire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler. But I mean, it doesn't really...
No, this is a conversation that's been had. In the trailer, they tell you it's a vampire film.
Yeah.
I think they fucked up in their promoting. I don't think you should have said it was a vampire film. I think that should have been a reveal in the theater.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that would have been a cool... Like, you'd be like, what the... It would just add it to the fun, great movie it already was.
Yeah.
If you didn't know going in what it
so
was.
It's like a mix of like From Dusk Till Dawn... Clue, Lost Boys, touches of Evil Dead, and like sprinkles of what they did in Scream. There's so much blood and gore, and the standout in this for me is Dan Stevens. I love that man. I think he's a great actor. I love that he keeps doing these genre pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about him in this is he's the same person, but he plays like 3 to 4 different variations of himself.
Yeah.
Because he has a character. He plays a character, but then he's actually another character, And then he switches to like, is he going to be good or bad? And then he lands on one of those sides.
Yeah.
And then from there, he turns into another character. So like four different characters in one. It was really fun to watch him do that. That was my favorite part of the whole movie was him for me. What was your favorite part of Abigail?
The little girl.
Yeah.
She was so good. Yeah. And she was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And just how much fun she had playing in the house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was, with all she the was people. Like,
yeah. I'm going to dance around and kill everybody. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Catherine Newton was cool. And
I love Catherine Newton.
I like how she was dressed. Didn't she have a dance moment where she was dancing with the vampire? That was fun.
I think that was also Angus Cloud's one of his last movies before he died.
And I didn't know who that was. So who is he again?
So he was in Euphoria and he had his moment in Euphoria and then he was doing some other things and he did this movie and he might have done something else, but then he died. Like,
so this
shortly.
Was the last thing that he did.
Yeah, I think so it was.
This is the only thing I've seen him in. And he was fun to spend
he
time
was
with.
Fun. There they was, were all fun.
Yeah, there was no, even the side characters, like, who's that actor, the guy who's in Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. He's a black guy that lets him in.
Yeah. God, I can't remember his name. He's in so many things.
And then there was the other guy who was in The Strain, who's like a big oaf kind of character.
Oh my God, he was so fun.
All of the characters are fun. Abigail is just, if you just want to have a good time with a horror film, watch Abigail.
Yeah. Yeah. We just left the theater and be like, that was so fucking fun.
Yeah, it was. But like, what could top that for us?
All right.
What could be number one?
What is it? Drum roll.
Yeah. What do you think it's going to be? What do you think, audience? What do you think our number one film is going to be? I was actually surprised that this is my number one.
Yeah?
I wasn't expecting it to be. Our number one film of the year is Terrifier 3.
Yeah, it is.
Art the Clown is set to unleash chaos on the unsuspecting residents of Miles County as they peacefully drift off to sleep on Christmas Eve. Directed by Damien Leone. And you know what? I want to start by saying that I was not the biggest Terrifier fan with 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were cool. I thought Terrifier was fun and it had a cool kill at the end.
Uh-huh.
Terrifier 2, I thought it was good.
But too much for you.
There were scenes that felt too mean-spirited for me without what they went their gore.
Mm-hmm.
So I was expecting a lot more of that for 3. But for some reason, some magical element, 3 was more playful for me. Yeah, 3 was more gory. Like, I don't know what that magic sauce was, but it was... maybe it has something to do with their effects team because I know that he had to bring in a bigger team for 3 that dealt with the effects. And maybe it was because the effects looked a little less human and more goofy, but they didn't really. I don't know. It was something about this movie was playful for me.
I think it was more art being more playful. Not that he isn't playful, but I think he had more fun in 3 than he's had. It just seemed like
he
had
that's more, a good point. I never thought about
like
that.
Art had a lot of fun in this one. And he was more comedic as far as like he was always comedic. Like in the first one of my favorites is him taking selfies.
Yeah, of course.
Because she had done that to him, you know, in the beginning, then he cuts her in half, which I fucking love. And then he's like taking selfies with her. And he has those moments in 1 and he has those moments in 2.
Mm.
But this one, he just was fucking fun the whole time. Like, he was having so much fun.
Yeah.
And making fun and being Santa Claus. Yeah. And, like, just...
And it takes place on Christmas, and the Christmas setting was really cool. I love seeing... Because we don't get many Christmas horror movies at, like, this level.
No, we don't.
It wasn't a horror movie, but the coolest, like, Christmas movie aside from this in recent years was the David Harbour one. It was an action one.
Violent Night. I fucking love Violent Night.
That
it was great.
That was awesome. We should have watched that this year. I don't know why. They're making a Violent Night, too. Anyways, Terrifier 3. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And there was worry going in that there was going to be graphic violence with children.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they did that in this movie was so brilliant.
Good.
And it was good because what it does is it makes you understand how smart the director and the team is because they're not just out to shock you, right? They also want people to go see their movie. And so I think they knew that line,
mm-hmm.
and they knew they were smart enough to not cross a certain line, which was super cool. And like, I respect that about like, oh, you're not just doing it for shock value. You actually have a line you're not going to cross.
Right.
And then this too makes number one for another reason, because at the same time, Joker, Folie à Deux came out, uh-huh. and then this came out, and then this one took over the box office slot and beat out Joker, Folie à Deux, like week two, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So that was like a huge win for the horror community.
It was
really cool.
And they even brought it back into the theaters around Christmas time.
Yeah, but a side note, and this is nothing new with anything, I love Joker, Folie à Deux. I love Joker too. I'm in the minority. I thought it was a great film. The more I think about it, the more I love it. I love the ending. I love the musical numbers. There's some flaws with it, but I genuinely don't understand the hate unless you're just a hardcore comic book dork. Okay, moving on. Joker 2 is rad, but it was awesome to see Terrifier 3 with a low budget of, I don't know, $3, $4 million,
uh-huh.
like win the box office with this $200 million thing that was supposed to make billions.
Yeah.
So that's a win for everybody in horror. No matter if you like Terrifier or not, you have to think that's fucking cool.
It is fucking cool. There was a lot of like surprise, like horror surprises, I think, this year. Mm. It was like, oh, that was surprisingly really good. Oh,
yeah.
Terrifier 3, you know, like independent horror type yeah. shit, took the box office.
Yeah.
Was
That's awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, it was awesome. It was fun. He had so much fun. I had so much fun.
Yeah.
It was more gory, but it didn't seem more gory because he was so playful, I guess. I don't know. It was just...
I don't think they lingered on it as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they did. Like, there was that scene in 2 where I hated.
Yeah, that they were on that for quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't linger on scenes as much, and they did some horrific stuff in there, but... it was fun, and I do like that we got more lore.
Mm-hmm.
We got more lore as to what Art the Clown is. We got more lore as to what, Victoria?
Yeah.
What Victoria is. We got more lore as to what Sienna is. They gave us a lot more lore to where, like, I was like, oh, I understand now what kind of what's going on mm-hmm. here. So I'm really excited to see what they do with 4, because I know 4 is coming out in 2026, mm-hmm. not this year, but 2026, and then we're going to get a 5th one, I believe. I think he's talking about doing 4 and 5, or just doing 4. I don't think he's landed on what yet.
Mm.
But if people like him and are excited about him and they
right.
keep making money, you know, as long as you're not beating a dead horse, go ahead.
Yeah.
But that being said, I would love to see this director do something else. I haven't seen him do anything
right.
yet. I mean, he's done short films and he did like All Hallows Eve and stuff like that. But I want to see him do something different.
Yes.
You know what? I want to see him take on someone else's IP. I want to see him do an Evil Dead. I want to see him do... Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
Do something like that. That'd
yeah.
be fun to do. I want to see that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so that was our top 5 best and worst. What were your guys' top 5 best and worst? Did you agree with what we have on our list? And again, we didn't get to see everything because life and
yeah.
getting to see stuff. And there was a couple we wanted. And if you're on the YouTube, you can see our producer.
You can see our dog here is wanting attention. So there were a couple we haven't seen this year that we really wanted to that could have made the list. I know one of them was Heretic.
Yeah.
I really still want to see that, but we just didn't get a chance to see it in time. Another one was Y2K, which I don't know if it would have made our list, but I was eternally curious about that because it's supposed to take place like if you weren't around in 1999,
mm-hmm.
there was a worry in the world that it was going to shut down because the computers didn't know. They thought the computers wouldn't be able to recognize 2000
yeah.
and would reset and like shut everything down.
Yeah, it was a big fucking
it
deal.
Was.
Or like aliens. And like
I was 19 at the time.
I was 17.
Really funny. I was at a party and we fucked with someone who was really scared about it. At midnight, we hit the power and she screamed. And so like, I really want to see it because I have fond memories of Y2K.
Yeah.
And yeah, I want to see that. Heretic, and there's a couple others we didn't see, but I know the Heretic is one that has made like top three horror films of the year, which if we would have seen it, it may have made this list, but we just didn't see it this year. We can't see everything.
We can't. Life happens, things.
Well, you know what? Let's give out some awards.
Yes, let's do.
Best Actor in Horror of 2024 goes to...
Dan Stevens.
Dan Stevens, if you couldn't figure it out. He was fantastic in Abigail. He was great. He played like five different versions of the same character. If you know, you'll know. And he was in Cuckoo. He was really great in that, which, I love that movie.
I liked it too. That was one that we were like, should we put it on? Should we not put it on? There was a couple that we were like,
oh. Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit later, but, Best Actress is...
Demi Moore,
from The Substance. And The Substance was another one that we had considered putting in as our number five slot, too.
Right.
And we're going back and forth and back and forth. But for me, like The Substance and Nosferatu, those are both one-offs for me because I'm not a body horror guy. I'll watch them and I'll appreciate them, but I don't want to go back to it. But The Substance like hit that line to where I was never fully like tapped out. And the movie was like 2.5 hours long and I didn't feel it.
You didn't feel it. And she was fucking stellar.
Yep. Demi Moore did a really good job. She was ferocious. She was ballsy and she just won a Golden Globe. And I hope she continues to win awards. And I really hope that she fucking takes an Oscar.
I hope so because...
I hope horror gets an Oscar this year.
I hope so. And I really hope it's Demi Moore because she deserved it.
Yeah.
She did it was such a... ballsy move for her, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And just she nailed it. She was so good. And then, you know, getting the progression, you know, of her. Yeah.
It was really cool.
Oh, stellar. Yeah, she was amazing.
She did a good job. A runner up for me was, and I forget her name now, but
Naomi?
From Smile 2. The actress from Smile 2.
Yes.
Smile 2 wasn't one of our favorite movies, but the actress. The main actress in that really did a good job. She gave it her all. I think she gave more than what the movie gave her.
Yeah.
She was really, really good in that.
She was. And I think her name was Naomi, right?
Naomi something, yeah.
Yeah.
Best Director of the Year is?
Robert Eggers.
Robert Eggers from Nosferatu.
Yeah.
And even though it's not my favorite film, I appreciate... that he was able to do exactly what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because I read that he's been trying to get this made for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I know that one of the producers on Nosferatu was Chris Columbus, who directed Home Alone, mm-hmm. who directed the first two Harry Potters, those kind of films. And he wanted to start his own production company with his daughter with the main idea that he had ran into so many things as a director running into problems with producers, not letting him do things that he sees. And so that's what he wanted to do with his company. And then with this film, because Robert Eggers had a vision. And then Christopher Columbus was like, I'm not going to get in the way of that. You've had this in your head for years.
Forever.
Who am I to say no to you? Right. So I'm saying yes to just do what you're going to do. I've seen your work. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that he was able to do that was awesome. And as a director, like having someone say that to you, it's got to be so freeing and validating, mm-hmm. and it's got to be so supportive. So that's why he's on there for me.
And really, he made his vision, and it is really good and beautiful and just, yeah.
He did some cool shit with the camera.
He did.
Yeah. For sure. I don't remember who, but God, I saw a YouTube clip of someone talking about a scene they were shooting and they were like in a really confined spot and the camera was here and they're like, well, what the fuck are we doing in here?
Mm-hmm.
And then Robert Eggers was like, you'll see, don't worry about it. And then they shoot the thing and the camera does some weird kind of trick and he's like, oh, that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then like that person went on and like had like a new tool to use in whatever they were doing. And I don't know if it was for Nosferatu or a different film, but so yeah, he's a good director. He's a really good director.
And he really is.
I think he deserves it this year. God, if there was a runner-up for Best Director of the Year, who would it be? It would be Damien Leone.
Yeah.
Because for the same reason, I like when a director is able to get his vision on the screen no matter what. And I think in Terrifier 3, he did.
Oh, he did.
He did. Mm-hmm. Right? But it was on a lower budget level. Robert Eggers, he can take it.
Yeah. All right.
You get the award, sir.
Yes, from our podcast. I hope you like.
Best kill of the year.
Oh, the yoga kill in a Violent Nature. And I'm going to need everyone to go watch it because it's a fucking great kill.
Yeah.
Because you're like, how did that is... Wow.
Everyone's talked about it. I think it's one like, you know, in Fangoria Awards. I think Yoga Kill took like it. It's best to not talk about it. It's best to watch it.
It's best to watch it.
Yeah.
Go watch it because you're going to be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like,
but there's another really fun kill, and I'm going to say it's the log splitter kill that I had a good time with too. There were, you know what? There were so many good kills this year. I like a lot of the kills from Terrifier 3. I liked when he killed the Santa with his homemade freeze gun.
Yeah.
And with the hammer, that was really cool. The Nosferatu kill, without spoilers, there's a really good kill in there. Terrifier 3 is filled with great kills.
Yes.
In a Violent Nature is filled with great kills. Abigail is filled with great kills.
Yeah, there's a lot. But the yoga kill, the yoga kill stands out because you're like...
There was some innovation going on.
Right, like, who thought of this? Like... The woods, like, there's others you're like, okay, I can see, but not even the realm of possibility. Was that even a thought? Yeah.
Well, those are our awards. So let's take a bring it down. So, what else is there to talk about horror in 2025? I have something to talk about, and we both do, and it's satanic baby talk.
Yes. So welcome to Satanic Baby Talk.
Welcome to Satanic Baby
Talk. With the Bloody Married Podcast. Yes.
So this year was really interesting because you had very similar movies. You had The First Omen, you had Immaculate, and you had Apartment 7A. And those are the three for sure that all were kind of the same movie. It was about a woman who was pregnant with the son of Satan.
Who got, like... Not by her own choice.
Not by their own choice. And then you could say to a degree Azrael had an element of, because in there was a satanic baby. It wasn't the driving force of the film, but it was actually a huge plot of the movie.
Yes.
And I had this discussion with you, and I think this is because we're going to get a little political now, no matter what side you stand on, Roe versus Wade. And I think it was like The First Omen, you're pregnant with the devil's baby and you can't do anything about it and you were raped and drugged and you didn't know it, so what do you do? What are your options? Roe versus Wade, if you're not familiar, you had freedom of choice. You could go and you could get an abortion. It was a woman who was in charge of her body, and now I think it went state by state, and now some places you can't, and it's hard to get health care, and it's not just about abortions, it gets rid of women's health care. And these movies have all dealt with that. Immaculate is the same movie as The First Omen. It is, kind of. It's the woman who goes to a convent
in Italy.
Don't go there.
Yeah, here's what I learned this year. If you decide, like, you know, I'm gonna be a nun and go to Italy and be don't do that. It doesn't work out.
And these really aren't spoilers if you just know the premise of the movie. And your main character, Sydney Sweeney, who did a great job.
Oh yeah, it was a good
Sydney
movie.
Sydney Sweeney was awesome in this, and it was the same thing. She ended up getting pregnant with the devil's baby, and then. How she deals with it, a pregnancy, an unwanted pregnancy, is different. It's the extreme version of what you have to do. And now you go to apartment 7A. It's a little different. You have another woman.
Which is prequel to Rosemary's Baby, if people don't know.
Yeah. I'll get into that, too. That's kind of fun, actually, to talk about. But same thing. She was drugged and raped and impregnated with the devil's baby.
Right.
And then how she dealt with it was another different scenario. And this isn't much of a spoiler, but light spoiler, she tries to get in a backwoods a back alley abortion, mm-hmm. and she can't even get one of those. So I really do think that those are just a reflection of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, the current climate of everything. And then in Azrael went a different way, which was kind of badass.
It was.
With the devil's baby and someone being pregnant with the devil's baby and then ending up not wanting to be. So yeah. You have four films of people having unwanted pregnancies and not really being able to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Or taking matters into their own hands in violent and grotesque ways.
Right.
Which is sad. What do you think about all that?
I think it is sad that that's, you know, where we're at of the state of the world.
Do you think it is a reflection of the state of the world? Or do you think it was just a coincidence that all these movies came out?
No, I don't think it was a coincidence. I think part of movies in general, movies and TV entertainment, is reflecting what society is like and what the culture is like. And,
yeah.
And that's, you know, and what better way to do that in horror is, you know, satanic babies.
Yeah.
And being impregnated with the devil's baby.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like you said, and all of those, yeah, I think it just reflects what's happening. And that's is the best way to bring that in a horror way. Because horror is always going to reflect what's happening. It's just in a different way than a drama would or a comedy would. It was interesting. You're like, well, which possession, you know, which satanic baby movie? And we're like, well, first of all, First Omen, because they were all acted great.
Yeah,
and
like, all those movies were good.
They were good.
Yeah. And so I had the argument too of like, I think for some people, the one you're going to like most is the one you see first since they're so similar.
Right.
Like if you see Immaculate before the First Omen, maybe you're going to like Immaculate more because, oh, First Omen, now we're just kind of watching the same thing but different.
Right.
And then you watch Apartment 7A, it's a little the same thing.
Right.
Apartment 7A was, I had mixed feelings. I am a Rosemary's Baby fan.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. When you're talking about classic horror films, I like that more than most. I like it more than The Shining. I like it more than The Exorcist. I really love Rosemary's Baby. I think it's a prime example of claustrophobic horror, and it really does build this sense of dread, and it leads up to something that's just crazy and cool.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to be one of those people. I read the sequel book,
right?
The Son of Rosemary, which, since it's not in film, it's not canon. And so, without spoiling much, in that book, Apartment 7A shouldn't exist.
Right.
Because of what happens in the book. I'm going to spoil the fucking book. No one's going to read it who watches their podcast. In The Son of Rosemary, how it ends up is it was all a premonition or a dream. And at the end of Son of Rosemary, it goes back to the beginning of Rosemary's Baby with the knowledge that she's had.
Right.
So probably the stuff doesn't happen. So Apartment 7A shouldn't happen because it doesn't exist.
Right.
So, which was really interesting. That being said, it was directed good. It was fun to be back in that world. It was cool seeing the actress who was in The Lost Boys.
Mm-hmm.
She was a lot of fun. She was funny.
She was super fun.
I don't remember her name. What else was she in?
Diane West.
What else is she? Diane West.
Parenthood.
Recently, she was in, the show I watch with Hawkeye.
The Mayor of Kingstown.
Yeah. Yes. She was the mom in that. So she was funny. And then the main actress was really great too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like, we got a lot of fun, good movies.
Yeah.
But it was definitely like, oh, we have a lot of possession.
Yeah.
Or devil baby movies.
Yeah.
And yeah, reflecting and society.
And talk kind of along the same lines of that is, I think it'd be fun to talk about The Substance for a little bit.
Yes.
The Substance also reflected society in a different way with beauty and plastic surgery and being an actress and being seen in the public eye,
mm-hmm.
and how you view yourself.
And also aging, accepting aging for women, that's a lot different and harder for, you know, men have always been like, oh, you're a silver fox and you're this and you're that.
Yeah.
Women, you know, reach a certain age and they're
in Hollywood,
especially
Hollywood could throw you out.
Or you hit 40, yeah. you're washed up, you're done, you're not pretty anymore, no one wants you.
Or not even that, you hit 30 and suddenly, oh, sorry, you really don't have much of a career till you hit 60, now you can play older roles.
Yeah, so between 30 and 50, you're like kind of screwed. And yeah, and having Demi Moore be in it with having done all that plastic surgery for herself to continue in the business and get, you know, try to stay up at that level.
And it kind of like reflects like, cause she really like hasn't done anything too crazy in the last decade either.
Right.
So it like, I think it like sung to her cause she was amazing in the '80s. She's part of me growing up. I've seen her like, you know, in so many movies like St. Elmo's Fire and Ghost and she's in everything in the '90s. She was in some cool stuff. And then Charlie's Angels, she was a lot of fun.
Right.
But then she kind of, you know,
after Charlie's Angels, well, on Charlie's Angels, she had, it was like, that was kind of like her reveal of her new body.
Yeah.
And her new, I'm 40, but like, look at this shit, you know? And so to have her in that role.
Yeah. And she won an award for it, which is awesome.
It's so awesome.
I want a Demi Moore resurgence. So I'm watching a show. It's not horror related, but I'm watching, I don't usually watch this kind of stuff. I'm watching Landman with Billy Bob Thornton.
Right.
It's a Tyler Sheridan thing, which he's the hot shit with a lot of TV right now. But Billy Bob Thornton, I love. So I'll watch anything he's in. So actors can trump the kind of show for me.
Right.
So seeing that Billy Bob Thornton is in a show, I'm going to watch it. Mm. No matter, it's oil rigs in Texas. It's not something I'd watch.
Right.
But Billy Bob Thornton and then Ali Larder, someone we grew up with watching in horror movies. But Demi Moore's in it. And she has a small role, but in like this last episode, the finale episode, she had more screen time and she delivered some genuinely good emotional moments that I haven't seen from her in a while. So I feel like she's
making her comeback.
Coming up.
And I love that she's making her comeback through horror.
yeah.
Right? Because usually horror is such like a... In Hollywood, it's like, oh, it's there, but we don't really recognize it. To have her win that award and just have her comeback kind of because of that, I think it's...
Yeah, what else is up for awards? It's not up for awards, but I know they submitted Long Legs to the Oscars. So right. Long Legs, let's talk about that.
We didn't talk about that.
We did a review for it. I considered putting it on the worst, but people love it. Some people don't. The more I think about it, the more I don't. What I love about it is the memes we got out of it.
Right.
I like Nicolas Cage a lot. I like Make Him Enroll a lot. I'm Osgood Perkins. The Monkey is one that I'm really curious about for next year. Just Long Legs. I think you said it today. You're like, I don't still know how I feel about that movie.
I want to watch it again just because I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie and then still later, like, because sometimes you walk out and you're like, I don't know how I feel. And then you think about it more and you're like, okay, this is how I feel. I still don't know. Like, part of me liked it. Like, part of me was like, oh, yeah, I like that. And the other part of me was like, what the fuck am I watching? I don't like this at all. And I'm very confused and I'm still confused about it. So I think I need to watch it one more time to, like, really be like, no, I don't like it or I do like it.
Yeah, I know I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also saw the movie in the theater while I was having a migraine, too.
Right. Which that probably didn't help.
Didn't help. But, like, I've talked about it with many people and having conversations about it. And, like, the more I talk about it with people, the more I don't like it when you start actually talking about the film. But, again, it's another one I respect. Nicolas Cage, I love. Make Him in a Row, director. I get it. Not for me. Third act, I thought was ridiculous and stupid, and it went against characters. Anyways, that was our Long Legs. Horror television of 2024. I think the only thing you and I actually watched together was Grotesquerie.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. And that one was, I was still like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know.
So I liked it. I liked Grotesquerie. You kind of know what's happening, but you're like the first four or five episodes, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
What's going on? Is this a dream sequence? Is this real? What the fuck are we watching here? But I enjoyed it because I like the actors. I liked the main doctor. I liked the main actress. I know that they greenlit it for a season two, so I'm curious what they're going
to do with that. I'm definitely curious to see what... Like, I didn't hate it. Yeah. But I was more like, I don't know. Yeah. It was one of those, like, I don't know if I like this or not.
Like Long Legs.
There's parts of it that I was like, that's really cool. Like, that's really cool. But then yeah. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I'm trying to think of, like, other horror television things we've seen this year. And I don't know if I've seen any.
I think really Grotesque is the
like,
only
if I watch television, I actually watch a lot of completely different things that aren't horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what I'm watching, what am I watching now? I'm watching Landman. I'm watching Skeleton Crew, with Star Wars for Disney is currently what I'm watching. And I just got done watching Creature Commandos on HBO. That's like what I watch when I'm not watching horror and I'm watching horror, television stuff.
So what are you looking forward to in 2025?
Me making a feature film.
Yes, which is going to happen, people. So yeah. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
What I'm looking forward to in 2025, there's actually quite a bit of films coming out. There's 28 Years Later, I'm really excited for. Mm-hmm. That trailer looks awesome. Conjuring 4, the final in The Conjuring, I think is going to be pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I know we're supposed to get a Saw 11. Hopefully we get a Scream 7. They just announced that they're shooting. They're actually shooting it. Shooting. We're going to have a podcast soon where Sean comes on and we're going to rank our Scream movies and talk about some Scream 7 stuff. So I Know What You Did Last Summer remake, soft reboot. I'm interested
to see. You know how I feel about that movie? Yeah. Fuck that movie. But also, I'm interested to see what they do with it.
I don't say fuck that movie. I think that I Know What You Did Last Summer is part of my childhood, and it's in the realm of the slasher revival, so I like it for that. So I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with it.
They Follow 2 is coming. What else is coming? There's going to be another Megan movie. You're like, yeah. What else is there? There's some good stuff coming. I had them written down, but I don't know where that went.
No, I'm excited. And you know what I think? I think we're just going to get more fun horror.
I hope so.
Like this year. The 2024, I feel like we're getting another boost in horror.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're going to start, you know, getting this, not renaissance, but, you know, like another, like, oh, when you look back, you're like, oh, this section of time, we had some really good horror. This section in time, you had a really good horror. I think this is going to be that. You know, we're going to start to get fun, good horror movies. And a lot of good ones like we did this previous year.
Yeah. Wolfman is coming out from Leah Whannell, who did The Invisible Man.
Yeah. Because Invisible Man was good, so I'm excited for...
Black Phone 2 is coming out. I got my phone. They did a search. a new Final Destination, Bloodlines. So we're going to have to... I think we should go and see it in the theater with Jeremy Youngman. And then we're going to have to do a reaction right afterwards.
Yes.
We're going to have to do that. God, what's the Valentine's Day horror? Oh,
Bloody Eye or Hard Eyes.
Hard Eyes. That's really cool. We don't get Valentine's horror... we need to do a Valentine-related podcast, and maybe it can work with this coming out, too. So, there's some fun stuff coming.
There's
I'm excited.
Some fun things coming, and I just think that we're getting this moment of where we're having a resurgence of horror movies that are good and mm-hmm. fun, and also, you know, pull in from what the culture is nowadays.
Unless we forget, we're going to get Strangers Chapter 2.
Oh, fuck off. Fuck off. I mean, I'm going to watch it because I need to know. You know,
you know what was surprising that didn't make our least favorite is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
Because Winnie the Pooh...
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining
We had some cool kills, and it was like, this isn't one of the worst ones. I'm sorry, James McAvoy, you are.
Yeah, I know. Speak No Evil, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think James McAvoy, you should probably sign on with this crew that's making all these Bambi, Peter Pan. You just go in there and cast, because another actor is in there. He was in Strangers. Rob Zombie uses him.
Oh, the one I don't like.
Yeah, I've warmed up to him. I think he's fine now. He's in the Peter Pan movie.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So they're getting more names. They're getting names.
Right. And those are interesting, coming to see what they're going to do. Like, we have Steamboat Mickey or Will, you know, we get
yeah.
So that's just fun to see what they do with those. Yeah. But No, I just think 2024 was a really good year for horror.
It was. And 2025 is going to be awesome because there's going to be a lot of cool movies and we're going to be doing a lot of awesome creative things this year.
Mm-hmm.
There will for sure be at least one thing from me coming out film related this year, if not two and if not three.
Yep. So, you're going to get to hear some cool stuff and some awesome things coming down from the Bloody Married podcast. So
yeah. What did you guys think of our top five, bottom five? Like, do you agree? Do you disagree? Are there ones that we missed?
What is the controversy? Did we ruffle feathers?
Yeah, that's always fun to talk about.
We got to beat our, Howling ones is the most controversial one we've done so far. So,
and again, let me reiterate, if you've made it this far and you've kept listening, subscribe to the YouTube channel if you can, and send it to friends, have them subscribe too. We could really use
the
that
support.
And fuck yeah, let's do 2025 stuff.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo! All right, our Bloody Marys are dead, and so are we.
So are we. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bloody.